I'd like to say good morning to everyone and welcome all, along with our visitors, to the Gehenna Jefferson Church of Christ on this morning. And we hope and pray that we will be edified this morning because in Christian worship, we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ should be preached concerning Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection, because Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only hope if we expect to leave this wicked world and to be with God someday. We must put our trust in him. We must render obedience to the gospel of Christ by hearing his word, and by believing in Jesus and turning away from all unrighteousness and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being baptized, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. And that is a wonderful time when you become a Christian. But also, what we want to talk about on this morning is the essentials of spiritual maturity. Because there are some essential things that we need to incorporate in our lives as Christians and as servants of God in order that we might grow. Because God expects us to grow. And you should also want to grow, because if you are a Christian, a servant of God, the only way that you're going to grow is because you want to grow. You don't want to be a baby all your life as a Christian and a servant of God. And we find encouragement in the Word of God in 2 Peter chapter number 3. In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And we also find in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we are encouraged that this church was a growing church, because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We find that this church was exceedingly growing in faith. And we also need to have this same mentality concerning growth, because it doesn't really matter how old you are. It doesn't matter about your gender. Doesn't matter about your education, because all of us can become followers of Jesus Christ. We should want to be followers of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You and I should want to be followers of Jesus Christ. However, one of the biggest impediments of us following Christ is self, is I. Because if you want to follow Christ, you have to allow yourself to be crucified with Jesus Christ. And so many people today, they don't want to give up self. They don't want to sacrifice themselves. But if you want to be a Christian, if you want to grow as a servant of God, that's exactly what you must do. In Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, we find that the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we living our lives like that? Are you and I crucifying the flesh? Are you and I putting self beside? Because many that claim to be Christians are not imitating Jesus Christ. Many that claim to be servants of God are not following in his footsteps. And if we are going to be the servants of God, we are going to have to grow into that maturity in following Jesus Christ. We also find in the book of Luke, chapter number 14, in Luke chapter number 14, as we learn about discipleship in this particular chapter, in verse number 27, Jesus says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One of the conditions that Jesus places on us as servants of God is we have to bear his cross. You know, we already know that Jesus bore the cross for us, but you and I have an individual cross in our lives that we must be willing to bear if we are going to be Jesus' disciples. Because he says again, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And if we drop down to verse number 33, Jesus also says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That's a pretty high cost to pay to being a disciple of Christ. And on one side, many people are not willing to pay that price. They may say they're Christians. They may say they love God, but when you begin to examine their lives, you find out that they don't really love God at all. They love themselves because they have not made that decision to bear up that cross and follow Jesus and to forsake all things. And if you are going to grow as Christians and servants of God, we have to learn to give all to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to grow in his words, in his precepts, in his principles in our lives and applying them in our lives on a daily basis. We also find in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter number 8 and verse number 31. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, the Bible says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the pivotal part in this particular verse is, if you continue in my word, how can Christians grow without continuing in the word of God? You know, that's a big problem. And in the church, in the days of the early church, there was a problem with some churches where they had members that were not growing at all. There was enough time that had elapsed where they should have grown. They should have been teaching other people. They should have been testifying to the people and to the folks that are around them about Jesus Christ. But in our scripture reading this morning, we find that they had not grown. They had not grown. In our scripture reading in Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12 through 14, we find that inspiration says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." What is the writer saying in this particular verse? The writer is saying that enough time have elapsed for you to be out of your diapers, for you to be not drinking the milk of the Word of God, for you to be going out and visiting the sick, for you to be confronting those that are speaking things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ and correcting them in love. But the time has come where you haven't even grown enough where you can do that. And the writer says in verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we find this problem that the Apostle Paul found in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and beginning at verse number 1, we find that the Apostle Paul couldn't even have a real dialogue with the Christians there because they were spiritually immature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." See, Paul couldn't speak to them. Because Paul was about giving a spiritual message. But the brothers and sisters at Corinth had not grown. They were still carnal. They were still fleshly. They had not properly put off the flesh. They had not crucified the flesh as they should have. And we find in verse number 2 that Paul says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." What does that imply? That implies that Paul had fed them the milk of the Word of God that they can grow. Just like we feed babies today with milk that they need to grow. But for some reason, they had not grown as they should. In verse 3, the Bible says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" They hadn't grown. They haven't put off the flesh. Perhaps they had not repented in the type of manner that they should have. And they couldn't grow because the Spirit of God and the flesh of men just won't work together. It will not work together at all. If you want to grow as a Christian, you have to put off these things. Because we're talking about the essentials of spiritual maturity. The essentials of spiritual maturity. It is essential that you make a clean break from the world. It is essential that you make a clean break with the world that you might grow. It's a necessity for us as Christians to break the influences that the world has on us. Because if the world has a greater influence on us than God has on us, we are not going to be profitable in the sight of God. You cannot expect to live a half-hearted worldly lifestyle and expect to grow and thrive as a servant of God. It's just not consistent. Have you ever known a new babe in Christ? A Christian that has been recently baptized into Christ? That kind of has not let go of the world and is trying to be a Christian at the same time? You know, these babes in Christ really have a difficult time because they have two different gods pulling at them all the time. One end, they have the Creator, the God of our fathers, trying to instruct them to do that which is right. But they also have the God of this world, which is the devil, also encouraging them to do the wrong things. And they usually fall flat on their face every time until they make that decision to grow and to leave those worldly things behind them. And if we are going to grow as Christians, we're going to have to leave the world behind. All the things that the world provides, which is basically nothing at all when it comes to the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. It's just nothing at all. And we need to let go of them. It just can't work because we need to decide to live for Jesus. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24, Jesus makes this very point that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve the world and you can't serve God at the same time. You have to make a choice. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 24, Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The two are opposed to each other. And a lot of people try to marry these two together, don't they? But it doesn't work. No matter how hard you try, you cannot marry the two together. Because we have to come to this decision in our lives. And oftentimes it's not an easy decision. Because we have friends, we have family, we may have close relationships with people that are influencing us in the world. And as Christians, if we want to grow, what do we have to do? We know what we have to do, don't we? We have to let go of those individuals that are influencing us to do evil. We have to do that which is right. Moses, the servant of God, had to make this tough decision, didn't he? He had to make that decision. In Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 24 and 25, we see that Moses had to choose between his upbringing as a servant of Pharaoh and the choice of serving God. He had to choose between the two. In verse number 24 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made a decision. He realized that he could have lived it up. He could have had all the riches he wanted to, and all the pleasures that would be a part of being Pharaoh's daughter. But Moses understood that these things were only temporal. They were only temporary because they would soon pass away. But the things of God, they don't pass away. They endure forever. That's why he chose rather, in verse 25, to suffer affliction with the people of God, because they were in Egyptian bondage, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the same type of choice that you and I must decide to make if we are going to grow in Christ. Also in Matthew chapter number 16, in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 26. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's the profit? What's the profit if you gain the things that the world provides? There's no profit in that whatsoever. And the reason for that is because you will lose your most valuable possession, which is your eternal soul. And we need to realize that we need to choose life instead of death. We need to realize that these two don't mix, and we have to make a decision. And also, in James chapter number 4, in James chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So that's why God is telling us that we cannot live for the world and live for his son, Jesus Christ, at the same time and be successful because they will always be opposed to one another. You have to make a decision whether or not you are going to live for Jesus or live for the devil. You have to make that choice if you are going to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we have been talking, the point is to grow into maturity, we have to make a break with the world. It is essential to know that there are lines. There are lines and boundaries from the Word of God that Christians are not to cross. Christians are not to cross certain boundaries that God has placed for us. Christians are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the first time you might hear this, this might seem kind of strange to you, but it's the same reasoning that we just talked about. Good and evil cannot be unified together. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, we find these truths. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we find that there are boundaries. There are lines for Christians and servants of God that we must not have fellowship with those that are evil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? So we see in this verse that God teaches us that we are not to be unequally yoked together. We need not to be in agreement with those people in this life that have decided to make the devil their God. We cannot make a decision to have a great amount of fellowship. And that's just the truth about the matter is, because the Bible says in verse number 15, what concord have Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What part does a Christian have with an unbeliever? They have no commonality at all. They are opposed to one another. Have you ever met somebody that you were directly opposed to? Everything that they were about were just wrong. They were just evil. And it would be very difficult for you to even spend time with these types of individuals because they're just wrong. They're just wrong. When you are Christian, when you love God, when you are embracing the words of truth, and you have a friend or a loved one that is of the opposite mindset, there's going to be some friction. There's going to be some friction. And sooner or later, we are going to realize that there's going to have to be a separation if we are going to serve Christ. If we are going to serve Christ. If we are going to be the salt of the earth. If we're going to have that type of influence that we need as Christians, if we are going to be the light of the world, if we are going to be that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid, these are the types of decisions that we must make as Christians and servants of the Almighty God. Also, as we continue in verse number 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Bible says, "And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And in verse 17, God says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." The essentials of spiritual maturity. We must learn to make those breaks from worldly associations that if we don't make a break from, will cause us and lead us down the road to disobedience to the Almighty God. Also, the Bible teaches us, as we were talking about those lines and boundaries that we are not to cross, there are certain things that we should not do if it is going to hamper our effectiveness as Christians and servants of God. We just need to stay away from those certain types of things, because the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 22 to abstain from all appearances of evil. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. That's something that we must commit ourselves to do. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we also need to be concerned about our speech also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications corrupt good manners. And we just got finished talking about evil associations, why we need to be separate from them. That's because they will influence us to go down in the wrong direction. And this is an amazing thing that so many people are deceived at. You know, so many people today think they will not be affected by the things that they hear or by the things that they see. That's just a self-deception and a vice of the devil to destroy you. So many young people today think the music that they hear, no matter how lewd, no matter how evil it is not going to affect them. Don't deceive yourself. Believe what God has just told you. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We have to be careful because our adversary, the devil, is trying to find ways to get to you. If he can get to you through your music, he's going to do it. If he can get to you through your cable television, he'll surely do that. If he can get you through the internet, he's going to do that. You've seen pop-ups come up, and they're not godly at all, and they have been destroying people's lives and souls on a continual basis. So we have to be careful, and we have to make sure that we grow up in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The essentials to spiritual maturity. It is essential to commit to the conversion process of salvation. It is essential to commit to the conversion process of salvation. A commitment involving a conscious decision to put aside everything else in life and put God first at the top of everything else is required. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But you must seek God first above everything else in your life. You must put him first. You must put him first above all things. You must put him first above yourself. You have to put him first, even above your father, even above your mother, even above your best friend, even above your co-workers, even above what the world thinks you should do. You have to put Jesus first in your life. It is important to realize in the conversion process, as we grow as Christians and servants of God, that we're going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're the preacher. Doesn't matter if you're an elder or a deacon or an esteemed person in the church. You are going to make mistakes from time to time. You are going to fall to the temptations of the devil from time to time. And that's why we need strength from God's word. That's why we need encouragement from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because we are encouraged in the word of God not to grow weary in well doing. We can't grow weary in well doing. Because if we don't faint, we're going to reap. We're going to reap those beautiful things that God has prepared for us in the word of God. So, yes, we are going to make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, don't beat yourself up. Don't say it's not worth the battle anymore. Just get back up. Ask God to forgive you. Ask your brothers and sisters to help you and pray for you and continue on to grow. Don't you know how many times people mess up when they're trying to get their lives right with God? You know, don't you know how long it takes to change certain habits that you have? You know, sometimes it takes a long time. If people have been saying the Lord's name in vain forever, it takes a long time for them to stop doing that. And then they start doing it, and occasionally they'll slip up, but they have to continue to do it again. And next thing you know, you're not saying it at all, like you have never done it before. And that's the type of attitude that we must take. We must continue to try and try again. Just like that train that could. It just kept on going. And we need to be encouraged just like that to continue to grow in the Lord's church and as servants of the Almighty God. We need to be encouraged. And if this morning, if there's somebody here that has not grown as they should have grown, you should know that you can make that decision to grow in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can make that decision right now. You can make that decision that I'm not going to be a babe in Christ any longer. I'm not going to be a vice of the devil any longer. I'm going to grow. I'm going to start reading my Bible daily. I'm going to start making applications in my life. I'm going to start getting rid of some friends that I don't need because they're leading me in the wrong direction. And I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be judged by God in that final day and he tell me to depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Because we want to hear those words to come to enter into the joy of my Lord. And we want each and every one of us that are Christians on this morning to grow up in him, that God will be well pleased with us. And if you are not a Christian on this morning, God wants you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is encouraging you and begging you right now. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the world's messages. Listen to the salvation of God. Jesus sacrificed his precious life for you. He died on a cruel, rugged cross. God raised him from the dead, never to die no more. He is reigning on the throne of God right now, making intercessions for you and me. You need to make that decision to obey the gospel by hearing his word, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. You need to repent of your sins, as we talked about on today, and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be buried in water for the remission of your sins and to grow as a Christian, as a servant of God. Why not make that decision to respond to the gospel of Christ as we all stand and sing?